All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Day two of Elon v. Trump. Granted, 2468 is on. PSU is on. Richard Perry's on. Robert Neroni is on. Skunk 71 is on. General Plowman is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Joe Heathen is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Behaven is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. DC941 is on. Lady Boo is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Day Now 59 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Keeper 1376 is on. D9597 is on. Salty Godads is on. Let me see here. Veronica 18201 is on. Charlie 340 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Jim Kohler is on. 1961 Kid is on. Just Jesse is on. Uncle Wally is on. Blade Runner is on. Goosey 600 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. DK Jackson is on. B. Wethy is on. K4 VMS is on. Charlie 340 is on. Sheila K is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Let me see. Big Red is on. Let me see here. Anybody I missed? Scrolling. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Milwaukee James is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's launch right into this. Not much on Trump v. Elon. Supposed to be a possible phone call today at some point. Never saw that there was up till when I stopped checking Twitter. Somewhere around 7-something o'clock tonight. So if you know anything that I don't know, or Aaron, you see it, just let me send it to me and we'll put it on. I didn't see any phone calls. Kind of got Trump got to be a little standoffish. I didn't play the video because it was of such poor quality video on Air Force One. A reporter interviewing him, talk for the leading question was, are you going to talk to Elon? And Trump was, you know, he wasn't like closed-minded to it, but definitely wasn't enthusiastic about it, then went into other things. But anyway, so we'll, you know, have to see how that goes. This is what happens when you put two alpha dogs in the same room, just so everybody knows. It is what it is. And you listen to, like, Alex Jones, listen to his version of what happened. He feels like, to some degree, Elon was kind of blown off by the Trump administration. Had the four turndowns that we illustrated last night. You know, the NASA turndown, the EV credit turndown. He wanted to stay longer, in Doge. That was turned down. And then one other that I forgot. But anyway, Alex Jones feels like, you know, Alex Jones has excellent sources inside the White House really, like, establishment Republicans were battling against Elon, and feels like to some degree Elon was blown off. But then Elon was out of line bringing up the Epstein stuff. So as usual in human conflicts, it's a proportional situation. It's a percentage situation. Who knows who is mostly at fault here? There is a percentage, but we honestly don't know what it is. But let's look at this now. Let's break into this. So I just named the show Democratic Party Insurrection. So this is an Adam Hughes video. Here's Hakeem Jeffries. Listen to what he says about ICE. Play for me.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that. This is America. This is not the Soviet Union. We're not behind the Iron Curtain. This is not the 1930s, and every single one of them, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will, of course, be
identified. There you go. Now, everyone just listen to what the man said. So the reason why, first of all, ICE agents are hiding their faces now is because there's websites and social media platforms dedicated to doxing them, and they've actually put out, including, I believe it was a mayor from a leftist city, actually doxed them, put out their names and addresses of ICE agents. So now they're covering their faces because you have a lot of facial recognition technology out there also, you know, so that these websites can actually ID these people and then run their addresses and then send these leftist lunatics to their homes. So they're hiding their faces because of that. But here's the other thing. Why didn't Hakeem care about all the leftist demonstrators? And I'm not just, you know, we can keep hearkening back to the summer of love, summer of 2020 with George Floyd sedition insurrection. We can go back to all, and by the way, that was far more of an insurrection sedition than anything happening on 1-6, because you had 30 people killed all of which were people resisting the protest. The only people killed on 1-6 were people that were a part of the protest and had no guns or anything else. But the people in the Summer of Love protests, the summer sedition, they were carrying firearms and executed people on the streets, including a former police chief. But anyway, and 30 people died, and I'm trying to remember $4 billion, I believe, dollars worth of damage, or maybe more, that they actually did during the Summer of Love insurrection. But Hakeem didn't care then, because it's all on purpose, and it's very hard not to digress into the big scheme of what COVID's all about. But one of the tributaries off of the river of COVID was that it made it lawful for people to wear masks. Understand that statutorily speaking, in just about every state, it is unlawful to wear a mask, because people can easily commit crimes while wearing a mask. But it made it lawful for people to commit crimes. That's all on purpose. That's part of, you know, the Soros agenda, is to make our civilization lawless so that we have to cry out to the government to save us. But Hakeem Jeffries never cared about any of that. He never cares about anybody wearing masks anywhere else. But if this was a Kamala Harris administration, he would think it would be perfectly fine for ICE agents to be wearing masks. But because it's Trump's ICE agents, they're not allowed to wear masks. And the only reason why they are wearing masks, they weren't before, they're wearing them now because there's insiders inside of ICE, inside of DHS, that are, you know, again, I don't want to overuse the word, but are seditious conspiratorialists who are actually committing really acts of treason, because an ICE agent's job is to remove people who have invaded this country. They're actually leaking this information to these leftist seditious groups, and these leftist seditious groups are showing up at the locations where there are ICE raids going on. There's no way to pull this off, folks. If you have any idea of how law enforcement works, and I have no idea how it works at the federal level, but I certainly do at the local level, nobody knows when you're going to do a raid. It's not going out anywhere unless you have a mole inside of that particular police department or federal agency. So that is happening, and that person needs to spend the rest of their life in federal prison. But then he characterized the ICE raids as aggressive overreach. How are they aggressive overreach? Aaron, if you would, I don't know if I sent this to you, keep this next video and just run it, but keep it completely and totally muted. Lots and lots of cuss words in it. So you can just run it side by side whenever you're ready. But anyway, so he calls it aggressive overreach. And this video that you're seeing right here comes from Project Constitution. Police and protesters clash during Minneapolis. Here it is once again, where we just had, you know, under Tampon Tim, who is the outreach to the white males from the Democratic Party. Imagine that, a guy who, you know, immediately defaults to jazz hands. Tim Wall, Tampon Tim. His nickname, if your name is Tampon Tim, probably not going to be a great outreach to white males, just so you know. But anyway, this is Tampon Tim's Minnesota. All of these people show up at the ICE raid. We had the video from the other night where all of these same protesters showed up, and it was Minneapolis also, under Tampon Tim, because Tampon Tim loves this stuff, because Tampon Tim loved and his wife loved the smell of burning tires over Minneapolis. Remember that? That's an absolute quote and absolutely true. Tampon's crazy wife, she's one of those with those crazy leftist lady eyes. Those are the ones you see, I don't care how hot they are, run for your freaking life. But anyway, she loved to watch the cities burn. So Tampon Tim loves all of this. So then you had the raid that all these same people showed up at, but it turned out to be an actual raid for something, an actual criminal raid by local cops, I believe also potentially mixed with feds, but it wasn't even ICE, but it was falsely leaked as an ICE raid, and it had something to do with financial crimes or whatever else. And these same idiots showed up in Minnesota at that raid. Now, this was a legitimate ICE raid, and you see what these people are doing. This is Hakeem Jeffries. See, all for all of this insurrection talk, and that J6 of, you know, 2021 was the worst day in American history since the Civil War. These same people who claim that J6 was an insurrection are doing this. Look at this. I mean, look at what is going on here. If you have the opportunity, this is a Project Constitution video. It's titled Police and Protesters Clash. Pull it up on Twitter so you can actually hear what's going on and how dangerous this is. And Hakeem Jeffries is instigating all of this, and he's doing it on purpose. See, these people, we need to understand, this is not the Tip O'Neill versus Ronald Reagan, Democrat versus Republican situation inside of D.C. People like Hakeem Jeffries are legitimately dangerous human beings who cause the murder of other human beings, who will eventually cause the murder of a law enforcement official. It's going to happen because of Hakeem Jeffries. And he doesn't care at all. They don't care about, you know, the, going back to J6, they don't care about, I mean, it's legitimate. I'm not denigrating podcasts. I mean, obviously I'm doing one. But a lot of us, including me, we live in the realm of this is stuff that we talk about, not stuff that we live. But when you're dealing with like Alex Jones, you're Peter Navarro, and you're Stephen Bannon, and you're, you know, James O'Keefe, Rudy Giuliani, Donald J. Trump, Roger Stone, General Mike Flynn, all of these people who've had, and again, this is a vast generalization because some had this, some had that, but had their homes raided, were arrested and charged with crimes that don't even exist. Okay. And charged with civil crimes that don't even exist. And of course, that's being Alex Jones and Donald Trump, and bankrupted as they attempted to do to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, if he wasn't a multi-billionaire, would already be bankrupt as Alex Jones is. But anyway, so these people are horrible, murderous, insurrectionist, seditious people. That's really who they are. We are not dealing with back in the old days where everybody slap happy, slapping, oh, you won that one today, Tip O'Neill. You won that one today, Ronnie Reagan. You know, and everybody's kind of, and then they all go out for cocktails. Those days are over. You're actually dealing with a criminal element, which is the Democratic Party. The entirety of the Democratic Party is criminal. Look what they're doing. And from Capitol Hill, the minority leader of the House is encouraging this by calling, by saying, why is ICE hiding their face? Because you doxed them. That's why. And this is an aggressive overreach. How is it ever an overreach to deport an illegal? That's all that's going on. I mean, make that, there's no way to even, in intelligent fashion, discuss it. Because how is it ever an overreach if somebody is here illegally to deport them? How is it ever an overreach? That makes absolutely no sense at all. Well, you know, they have to have their due process. Already did. Deemed illegal, you're out. That's your due process. There is no due process for an illegal except to deem whether they're legal or illegal. Once they're deemed illegal, you're out. So you see how he is actually instigating this violence. Here's another one for you. Let's go to the next one. Leftism video. A psychotic anti-ICE protester in L.A. Play for me.
Homeland Security investigators are still inside the building. Whether or not they're still trying to collect evidence, not entirely sure. But now here goes three vehicles from the parking lot with those people that were detained from the business just moments ago. And here comes the crowd. They are trying to move with the vehicles down up the street here, up Stamford. And they are being escorted here by the tactical vehicle. You can see some of that, a puff of that white smoke there. That's something they were using for crowd control, I believe, from the FBI agents. I did not see any of the civilians actually throwing canisters, but as soon as they arrived to try and move the crowd from the gate is when we started seeing some sort of smoke to help try and keep those people from the gate here. Okay, so here we are. We're in the middle of the street here. You can see one person trying to stand right in front of this SUV here, but it's just such a dangerous situation here. And it's really not going to do him any good to be standing there and possibly get ran over by agents. So here they are. They're on 9th Street now. Crowd is running alongside with these vehicles. And I'd pretty much guarantee that this SUV is not going to stop. Someone throwing. Looks like.
Wow.
All right, let me widen out here. Okay, so we saw some eggs being thrown at the vehicle. Now he is just, partly ran over by that SUV.
There goes, getting up.
It looks like a bicycle was also struck in the crosswalk here. It's just a dangerous situation. It doesn't, not really going to prevent them from leaving, but now we have a whole other situation here.
Once again, this is being instigated from Capitol Hill, from Hakeem Jeffries. And the left can call us insurrectionists all they want. We never do this. We never do any of this ever. If they want to say that you had one bad day on 1-6, that's not even true because it was a Fed insurrection. But let's pretend that it's true for just a minute. This is how the left lives 24/7. And it's actually instigated. Donald Trump said peacefully and patriotically protest. Hakeem Jeffries and numerous others, whether it's Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer, have actually been verbally violent, and Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris have asked for the streets to be filled full of people. And this is what happened. Look at this guy. I mean, you are hoping that this person can control this vehicle. And this is what Hakeem Jeffries, look how he acts dead when he's here. And by the way, if that's me in that white car right there and this crowd starts, you're going to be lucky to be alive because I'm not staying there for you. I'll risk it in court, but I'm not going to stay there for you when you start to surround. Right now, I'll have to deal with this guy, but you start to throw things into my car, and at the end, when the guy acts like he's dead, when he wasn't even really run over, and they start to surround him, I can tell you flat out that I'm not going to stay there. It's not going to happen. I'm going. And if you're in the way, I'm going over top of you. That's the way this is. This is what Hakeem Jeffries does right here. This is what he instigates. This is in L.A. This is in California right here. Unbelievable. I'm just so lucky that this person has control of this vehicle. Look at the vehicle. Start getting surrounded by people. I'm out of there. And if you're in my way, then you're going to be run over. It really is as simple as that. And this is some hard-hitting journalism right here. Aaron, go back to that picture you got for me. I just wanted to show it to you. This is what I'm talking about. This is Tampon Tim's wife. She looks like the murderer out of Psycho. Watch the movie Psycho. Identical freaking twins right here. That's the murder, the murderer's, I think it's mother, looks just like her right there. That lady absolutely. Or maybe it's Friday the 13th. One of the two, maybe Friday the 13th, but yeah, Friday the 13th is the one. But anyway, I'm telling you, it looks just like her. Now I just want, this is a public service announcement for all the single men out there. No matter how young she might be too old for you, whatever it may be, but it doesn't matter because this is ageless, because this goes all the way from the moment they turn 18 on. If they look like this in any way, shape, or form, run for your life. Absolutely run for your life, because you could wake up with appendages missing. I'm telling you right now, it's true, because they hate penises. They hate men. Run for your life. That's probably what happened to Tampon Tim. He probably woke up one morning, his balls were gone. Because she hates balls. She hates men. Run for your life. And look at it. And look at Tampon Tim's daughter, too, all pierced up, especially through the nose. Watch. I mean, run for your freaking life. You look at what these two parents, Tampon Tim and this crazy woman out of Friday the 13th, what they actually produced. Watch videos of Tampon Tim's wife. And this is the woman who absolutely loves the smell of burning tires in Minneapolis, because it's the smell of revolution for her Lord and Savior, George Floyd. I mean, that's what, you know, George Floyd, who died of a fentanyl overdose. So, I mean, this is the type of mentality. You can see it in her eyes, and watch the videos of this woman, too. You ever see a woman like this, I don't care how hot she is, like my James O'Keefe warnings for the left. If they're too hot for you, you're being filmed by James O'Keefe. And here, if you see these kind of crazy eyes, I don't care if she's the hottest bikini babe you have ever seen in your life, run for your life. Run for your life. That's a public service announcement from the TLP. All right, let's go to the next one. So let's do Elon versus Trump for just a minute here, because you had the Elon allegations that Trump was in the Epstein files. Well, of course he's in the Epstein files. There is a semi-truckload full just from the New York office of Epstein files. So of course he's in the files. If you've ever been part of a police investigation, it can be anywhere. I mean, there could be a file that's, you know, and again, I never investigated. Brent did. I didn't investigate like real crimes like murders or robberies or anything like that. For me, it was always like street level stuff like theft and petty theft and batteries and ag batteries and things like that. But anyway, domestic batteries. But anyway, if you talk to Brent, you can have an investigative file that has 67 people on it, and 66 of them have nothing to do with the crime. Nothing to do with the crime whatsoever. So, of course, Epstein's going to have a million people on that semi-truckload full of files and CDs and DVDs and audio tapes and videotapes and pictures and his art and everything else. So there's going to be a myriad of people in there. So Elon was very careful to say that Trump wasn't on the Epstein client list. He wasn't on the Epstein flight log, although he did fly with Epstein. And Donald Trump was friends with him. I mean, everybody was. In West Palm Beach, Florida. I mean, if you've ever been down to West Palm, you have West Palm and then you have Mar-a-Lago West Palm. When you actually go over the bridge and they're actually out on that island, it's a totally different freaking world. That's where the Epsteins of the world and the Trumps of the world live. Totally different world, and they have their own little civilization. Everybody knows each other, and they have the giant parties at Mar-a-Lago, of which Epstein was at. I mean, there's no denying it. And do I believe that Trump is not releasing the Epstein files because of that? Yes. Not because Trump ever diddled a chick. Never. He never diddled some underage chick. That never happened. It didn't happen. If it would have happened, believe me, would have known by now. Because remember, they were investigating Trump before he took office in 2016. Remember the whole collusion hoax and everything else. Believe me, if there was any evidence of Donald Trump being on Epstein Island having sex with minors, we would all know. Believe me, because Aaron, give me a believe me.
Believe me.
We would all know.
We would know.
We would all know. There you go. Trump just said it himself. We would all know. Okay, that we would. So Trump didn't do any of that, but he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, but he's the very first big name celebrity to actually deal with Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, Epstein had an office at Harvard in 2019. That was just 6 years ago. I mean, that's all the trial and the suicide and the conspiracy. Just 6 years ago, he had an office at Harvard. Nobody else stood up to him, not the feds, not federal prosecutors. The local cops did. And the federal prosecutors took over and then gave him a very light sentence where he could just walk in and out of jail every day. That was the Epstein. That was after he raped a 14-year-old. And that's how easy he got it. Trump was the very first one to actually cooperate without a subpoena, without actually being subpoenaed for a deposition, without being forced to come in and talk. Trump just went and said, "I'll tell you anything you want." And he was actually very helpful to victims and everybody else. And Trump actually dealt with Epstein to his face, kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago, and their friendship ended. Unlike Billy Gates, who was visiting Jeffrey Epstein in his brownstone, and so was Prince Andrew and everybody else in New York City, pretty much up to the time of his latest arrest. And we all know that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. I don't care what. Listen, I like Cash Patel. I used to love Cash Patel. I like him. And I like Bongino. Used to love him. I still like him. Okay, but I don't believe what they're saying. And by the way, these guys need to be looking deep into AI and altered videotapes, because I can tell you flat out, if you give Aaron an afternoon, he can make a videotape look like however you want it to look. He may not even know the technology, because people like Aaron, Davy Jones, they love to read manuals. You're like, that's not pop. I'm telling you, you need to talk to Aaron. If you come to the church, talk to him after church sometime. He loves to read manuals. Tech manuals. He's different. Okay, different. And people like him, they can make any videotape or audio tape be exactly what he wants it to be. And could somebody who's a forensic expert tell? Yes, at this time. At this time, yes. Because they need to be looking at these tapes that they believe making an open and shut case, because nobody came in and nobody came out in the Epstein case and on video. You need to watch the whole Rogan Patel interview. I do too. I haven't watched it. I've only seen snippets of it. But anyway, what Patel is saying is that we have videotapes showing that nobody went in and nobody went out. I thought the videotapes were off. We were told now, Aaron, how many years has it been since Epstein died? Been told now for, let's just estimate, 5 years that or more, that the video cameras were down. So now Patel's telling us they definitively show that he didn't commit suicide. What's true? Who is lying? Yeah, August of 2019, that's when he committed suicide. So he had an office at Harvard the same year that he committed suicide. Keep that in mind whenever you're seeing Trump v. Harvard, because Harvard is nothing more than a CIA cutout. Don't have time to get into it. But anyway, so here's Alex Jones. I've investigated. Listen, am I an Alex Jones fan? Absolutely. But I don't consider him to be flawless or right every time. I don't. But I'm just saying I am an Alex Jones fan. I've met him personally. Super, super, super nice guy. Really. Real, genuine human being. Does not think more highly of himself than he ought. Very, very nice person. It's not like I don't know him. He would not know who I am. I just met him for a couple hours. Did a 10-minute segment, 20-minute segment on a show with him. Pretty much because I think Rodney R. Brown kind of forced him to put me on. But anyway, which was sweet. But anyway, and Alex was very sweet and endearing. Actually invited me to come back the next day. But anyway, he's a genuine person. And Alex Jones knows what he's talking about. You want to go by percentages? Let's compare the FBI and how often they're right comparison to Alex Jones. How about DHS, CDC, AWHO, the federal government, or anybody else? Let's compare how often they're right versus Alex Jones. Alex Jones is well into the 90 percentile. They certainly are not. So he has investigated Trump for 10 years looking for any connection to Epstein's crimes and found zero evidence, because there aren't any. There's Trump linked to Epstein, and that's why Trump is not allowing allowing the evidence to be released. I believe that's the case. Could I be wrong? Yes. Because what will happen is you will end up with a bunch of fraudulent allegations against Donald Trump. Because it'll be something along the lines of Jeffrey Epstein rented 4 rooms at the Trump Tower, New York. And that's the building, whatever the Trump Hotel, Trump Plaza, when he used to own the Plaza in New York, Trump Plaza. And then the next thing you know, it'll be Trump was there being urinated on by underage prostitutes. Because they, that's like how they made up the whole collusion hoax. That's why Trump doesn't want to do it. It's not because Trump's trying to cover up any crimes. He didn't commit any crimes. He's trying not to deal with the political hassle. But the problem is this, as you said, that you released them. And here's the thing. Give us sharks in the water some blood. Give us something to munch on. Give us the Epstein flight log. That Marsha Blackburn, senator out of Tennessee, has been asking Tricky Dicky Durbin to release for years now. Why would they not release the flight log? Why would they not release it? We just want to see who was on the Lolita Express. We just want to see it. Who was on the Lolita Express? That's it. We already know Trump was on it at some point. RFK Jr. was on too, and many others. But the interesting thing about flight logs is what do they delineate? Where the flight is going, right? And how Bill Clinton would call off his Secret Service detail every time he got on the Lolita Express. That's a fact, by the way. I don't need my Secret Service detail on the Lolita Express while he was doing stuff on the plane and on the island 27 times that we know of. So anyway, give us some meat. And why, again, even we have Patel, we have Bongino. Why has that not been released? Aaron, has it been released?
Nope.
Okay, there we go. I've been asking Aaron that now for 3-4 weeks straight, and never, it doesn't get released. Go to the next one for me. Bill Ackman tweet, I was hired to lead Jeffrey Epstein's defense as his criminal lawyer 9 days before he died. He sought my advice for months before that. I can say authoritatively, unequivocally, and definitively that he had no information to hurt President Trump. I specifically asked him that. So what Elon did there was wrong. What Trump said when he said that Elon was wearing thin belies his statements from 3 days before he made that statement that Elon was wearing thin. Because Trump said, I hate to see him go, and I've offered for him to stay, and he's turned me down. So when was Trump lying? So, Tom, you're playing off of both sides. Yes, you better. If you've ever had to be a mediator, if you've ever been a cop and you're standing between a husband and wife, and it's he said, she said, you're going to have to be somebody who goes, well, there's a percentage here. Somewhere between each one of these statements is the truth. That is the way that it is with human conflict. A lot of people don't deal with a lot of human conflict. They think they do because they deal with family conflict. But be a cop for 25 years like I was and be a pastor now for 23 years like I am. I mean, and the conflicts inside a church are way worse than law enforcement. Just no criminal element. So, I mean, usually. But anyway, so that's what you have to understand. You're dealing with a percentage. When you're doing counseling, marriage counseling, you're dealing with, there is a percentage of why this marriage is a mess. It could be 70% wife, 30% husband, or vice versa. You never know. So here was kind of an olive branch that was put out By, did I say the wrong one, the one before?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for you did David Schoen. You actually showed the right one.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
So here's Bill Ackman. Sorry, it was David. I want to give proper credit. It was David Schoen before. It was on there, but just in case. So here's Bill Ackman right here. Bill Ackman tweet. And this was kind of an olive branch, and I wish Trump would have taken it up. I really do. Again, you're like, whose side are you on, Tom? Neither. I'm not in the room. If Brent and Aaron get in an argument right now, I can watch and I can determine who was at fault, okay, and who was more at fault, and who's right, who's wrong. And even with that, then you'd have to decide how did it start and why did it start? Was there stuff going on before that? So it's complicated when you're dealing with this. You don't take sides unless you're there and you're an eyewitness. And there's right and there's wrong. Elon never should have said anything about Epstein files, and Trump never should have said Elon was wearing thin when he was singing his praises 3 days before that, saying, I wish he would never leave. How is he wearing thin and then you wish he would never leave? Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, Bill Ackman tweet, I support at real Donald Trump and Elon Musk, and they should make peace for the benefit of our great country. We are much stronger together than apart. Elon Musk, you're not wrong. That was the olive branch that Trump needed to take, and he didn't. I mean, he needed to take it. Listen, they got it. You've got it. Whether you like it, now Elon's calling for a third party. It's not going to happen. You're not going to win. You can try all the third-party crap you want. You got to take over one or the other. You got to take over one of the other parties. Certainly, we're never going to take over the Democratic Party. So our biggest opposition right out of Jude 3 and 4 are the ones who are among us. Our greatest opposition are establishment Republicans, because establishment Republicans are actually Democrats who believe that they have to work in a synergistic fashion because they're morally and intellectually superior to all of us, so they have to work in a synergistic fashion with Democrats, because when they come together, they're smarter than all of us. That's what they think. That's the John Cornyns of the world. That's the John Thunes of the world. They believe that they need to come, that the ultimate in existence is to come to a compromise with the left. And they're the only ones that can do it, because they're actually leftists themselves. All right, so let's just move on to the border. Lips of TikTok video. Breaking: U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi reveals that Kilmar Abrego Garcia will be returning to the United States under a criminal warrant. I am very conflicted with this, because I don't think we should bring him back, because we're caving, but there's benefits to bringing him back. Play for me.
And conspiracy to commit alien smuggling in violation of Title 8 U.S.C. 1324. We want to thank President Bukele for agreeing to return Abrego Garcia to the United States. Our government presented El Salvador with an arrest warrant, and they agreed to return him to our country. We're grateful to President Bukele for agreeing to return him to our country to face these very serious charges. This is what American justice looks like.
Okay, I thought I had a way longer video than that. But anyway, so he's being brought back, and she actually, in the longer video, which I thought that I had, I don't know what the heck just happened there. Honestly, I sent in a video that was actually four times as long as that, three plus minutes. But I'm going to find it if I can. But anyway, Aaron, if you could look, because there's a different video than that. That should not have been 30 seconds, because there's a big outline about what is going on. I'll do the best I can out of memory to tell you. But anyway, so here's my conflict with the whole thing. If you bring him back now, I made sure that I trolled leftist media. They are not claiming a victory with this. They're too busy celebrating Trump and Elon having their feud. But anyway, they're not claiming a victory. See, we're bringing Kilmar Abrego Garcia back. So what exactly is Trump doing here? Because in one way, by bringing him back, it looks like you're caving to leftist demands. It looks like you're caving to it. Now, by bringing him back, though, you expose what they were advocating and the person they were advocating for. Did you find something, Aaron?
Yeah, that's the full.
Play it for me.
And conspiracy to commit alien smuggling in violation of Title 8 U.S.C. 1324. We want to thank President Bukele for agreeing to return Abrego Garcia to the United States. Our government presented El Salvador with an arrest warrant, and they agreed to return him to our country. We're grateful to President Bukele for agreeing to return him to our country to face these very serious charges. This is what American justice looks like. Upon completion of his sentence, we anticipate he will be returned to his home country of El Salvador. The grand jury found that over the past 9 years, Abrego Garcia has played a significant role in an alien smuggling ring. They found this was his full-time job, not a contractor. He was a smuggler of humans and children and women. He made over 100 trips, the grand jury found, smuggling people throughout our country. MS-13 members, violent gang, terrorist organization members throughout our country. Thousands of illegal aliens were smuggled. This is especially disturbing because Abrego Garcia is also alleged with transporting minor children. The defendant traded the innocence of minor children for profit. There are even more disturbing facts that the grand jury uncovered. It is alleged this defendant is part of the same smuggling ring responsible for the death of more than 50 migrants in 2021 after the tractor trailer overturned in Mexico. This is part of that same ring. The defendant abused undocumented alien females, according to co-conspirators, who were under his control while transporting them throughout our country. This defendant trafficked firearms and narcotics throughout our country on multiple occasions. They were using vehicles, SUVs, with added seats in the back, floors that had been ripped out, guns, narcotics, children, women MS-13 members. That is what the grand jury found. A co-conspirator alleged that the defendant solicited nude photographs and videos of a minor. A co-conspirator also alleges the defendant played a role in the murder of a rival gang member's mother.
So there you go. The Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who says appropriately named Kilmar, going back to front, is allegedly, this is all part of a grand jury indictment. And how seriously can, and you have, I have to be fair, because I'm always running down grand jury indictments because they're used against Trump. It's not hard to get an indictment because you're not allowed to present a defense. But in this defense, they have actual, I mean, in this indictment, they actually have co-conspirators. In other words, other MS-13 members who are working with Kilmar Abrego Garcia in a murder plot. They had at least a measure of child pornography. They were transporting kids around the country. He allegedly, according to a co-conspirator, abused female illegals. We know what that means. And was also trafficking in kids, firearms, and narcotics. That's Kilmar Abrego Garcia. So, again, here's my 2 points with this, is that it's a great score. I think this is Donald Trump being Donald Trump, and I'm not either for or against this. I lean towards being against it, because why bring the guy back? Why now? We're going to now spend $30 or $40 million transporting this guy, imprisoning this guy, detaining this guy, trying this guy, and then re-deporting this guy. And then we again, it comes out of our pockets from our country, $37 trillion in debt. We don't need it. So just leave him down there and persuade Nayib Bukele to put him back in CECOT where he belongs, because he's been out of CECOT. So this is the kind of person that he is. Now here, it appears that the Tennessee State Patrol or a local law enforcement agency working in conjunction with the Tennessee State Patrol, state troopers, have released the video of when he was actually caught trafficking in human beings. Nick Sorter video breaking Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the deported El Salvadorian, is being brought back to the United States to face trial. He's being charged with transporting illegals within the U.S., which he was caught on body cam doing. Here is the body cam images. Play for me.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Good, and you?
All right.
Anything good?
You got a bunch of people here, don't you?
It's 1%. Yes. Go back to work.
Gotcha. Where are you working at?
Where?
Where?
San Luis, Missouri.
Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm from Maryland.
Okay. Yes, now, the reason I stopped you, we was running 75 down through here.
75?
Yeah. Of course, this is 65 through here.
I know. I'm going to 70.
Going 70?
Yeah. What's the limit right now? Yeah. 70 or 65?
It's 65.
Oh, I can see it, sir.
You got all your info?
I see the order, the speed limit. I see the 70.
Yeah, it jumps up and down.
Like that.
Yeah, your driver's license, your registration, and your proof of insurance.
Oh, my God. Okay, sure.
The what?
The problem with my license right now is expired, right?
It's suspended?
It's suspended because I have my permanent employment, so like 2 years experience, so I need to. So right now I'm waiting the paper for immigration for I go to the NBA. So you know. That car is my sorry to my boss.
So where do y'all live at?
Where I live in?
Mm-hmm.
I live in Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah, also.
Whose vehicle is it?
What, excuse me?
Whose car is it?
It's to my boss.
Your boss?
My boss, yeah.
Where's he live? Where's your boss live?
My boss right now is staying in Maryland, but he lives in Texas.
Okay.
In Houston, Texas.
Hey, Have you got the proof of insurance?
Yeah, I don't know where to put it in my clothing. Let me call.
So where are you guys coming from right now? Where are you coming from?
From San Luis. Actually, I work in San Luis. So right now, Phoenix. That place, Phoenix. So I go back, everybody go back to the house for Maryland. Next week, I go maybe tonight with the other project.
I thought you...
So there you go. Now there's the Maryland dad. There he is, the Maryland man. And in that, I can show you the whole video is over 5 minutes long. And at the end, they have a conversation between cops. And one of the cops says to the cop that initiated the traffic stop, you know what he's doing, right? He's smuggling. He actually said smuggling. He's smuggling human beings. They had actually pulled the seats out and added seats to the back. He had 8 people total in that minivan. 8 total in that minivan. So that's 2. And then 6 more in the back. And he was coming from Texas. And he was transporting them for human trafficking to Maryland, the Maryland dad. And you saw the date. That was in 2020. I think it was November of 2022, 11/22. So the Democrats are defending a man, and I think this is why Trump is doing this, who is smuggling human beings from the southern border in Texas, probably from, you know, obviously from, you know, Shelby Park, wherever it came from. But anyway, Del Rio, whatever it is, in the myriad of possibilities, especially that year, 2022, wide freaking open. I'm talking about wide open in Texas. So he's transporting these people back as an MS-13 member, you know, for human trafficking, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, whatever it may be, back to Maryland, where he, of course, is the Maryland man and the Maryland dad. Now, why is Trump doing this? Because I believe what he's doing is humiliating the Democrats, because he's saying, look what you were defending. Look, if you're Chris Van Hollen, senator out of the state of Maryland, look at what you went down to El Salvador to bring back is this guy. And now this videotape gets released and just shows that he's a criminal. And Brett and I were talking about this. If you've ever spent time in law enforcement, as soon as you pull them over, and these people are fumbling for their driver's license and fumbling for their proof of insurance and fumbling for their registration, they start saying, the car is owned by somebody. The car is owned by my dad. The car is owned by my friend. My driver's license is suspended, because he knows he's about to be found out that it's suspended, so he's trying to get out of it. It's over. I mean, you're going to jail. But for some reason, this was all turned over to the FBI. This was obvious human smuggling. He didn't know one person in the car. And let me ask you this question. Unless you're an Uber driver, and this, of course, eliminates Uber as a possibility, but do you ever drive from Texas to Maryland with people you have no idea who they're in a minivan? Not only that, but jam-packed full of people you have no idea who they are. This was turned over to Biden's FBI, Christopher Wray's FBI, and of course they did absolutely nothing, because they're trying to facilitate the global cabal, which is to flood first world countries with third world aliens who have no heritage connection to our founding documents, so they're very easily globally governed. All right, let's go on to this. Let's go to the next thing now. Naomi Wolf, on to Palantir. Palantir News, Palantir announces Newf, and this, of course, is who's going to be in charge of the Real ID system. Now, Aaron greatly enlightened me the other night. I didn't fully comprehend what he was saying because we didn't have time to discuss it. This was all initiated back in 2000. It went from 2008 to 2004 by the George W. Bush administration. Real ID was actually put in place here. So the reason why I attacked Trump on it is because Trump used an executive order to, like, reinitiate it. Because it's already been in place since 2000. Let's just make it easy. 2008, it's already been in place. And you have states like my own. Little did I know, Aaron already has a real ID. Mm-hmm. And so do I. So if you're in the state of Florida, because we were one of the states that cooperated with George W. Bush's real ID initiative and system. So, like, it was funny, because I was thinking about this with Will. And Will, if you're watching, assistant producers, Will was like, I got to fly in a month. I'm going to need a real ID or a passport. Well, Will, you already have one. Don't worry. So does your friend Tom. Okay.
It's already there.
Herbert the pervert has already just told you it's already there. So we already, and you know how they market in the federal system. I don't know if it's on my driver's license or not. Let me look.
Does it have a star on it?
This is like, yeah, this is like the greatest podcast in the world. And this is like the most boring thing you've ever been a part of. I'll get it out right here. I got my wings and rings wipes. There you go, former police man. There you go.
That's cool.
And then, let me see. Now, I got an old one. Mine doesn't have the gold star on. There's my...
In the corner?
Aaron will kill me. I'm not going to show you my driver's license. Somebody
yeah. yeah, don't do it.
Aaron will absolutely ream my hide afterwards. But anyway, so I don't have it. But allegedly, you have a end up with a gold star on it. But Palantir is going... And it's a huge mistake for Trump to invigorate the system. Now, Trump is doing it because Trump does not have revelatory knowledge of the Bible. That he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You do not want federal or global tracking systems attached to anything or anybody. But that's what this real idea is. Trump is doing it to prevent voter fraud and illegal immigration. It won't work in either case. Don't have time to get into that. But that's why Trump is doing it, because he doesn't understand the connection. That's why I tell you, some people, and Trump is not a pawn for the globalists, but some people are pawns for the globalists. They honestly, like rudimentary, everyday leftist, moronic Democrats have no idea that they're part of a global cabal. The global cabal is Revelation 13 and 14. It ends that way with Beast 1, Beast 2, the dragon, and the mark of the beast. That's what's going to happen. And you and I are supposed to be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, great restraining. That's what we're supposed to do, is restrain this stuff. When we see this real ID program that will end up being a Chinese-style program right out of Minority Report. Systems everywhere, reading, you should see it. Every place there could possibly be a poll in China, there's a poll with 7 cameras in every direction, and they are reading every person who goes by. And they're reading their ID because they're carrying it with them on a phone or on a real ID card. And for some reason, because Trump doesn't grasp the connection to the mark of the beast, and that's the global cabal to leverage you into a one world commerce system with single access point to all commerce, controlled by people like Bill Gates and Tetros and London and Beijing and all the other names you could think of. But anyway, Zuckerberg and Bezos and Obama and all the globalists. He doesn't get that. He's doing it for the reasons that he's doing it and for the reasons that George W. Bush pushed it. But George W. Bush is actually a in-the-know, Bohemian Grove globalist, cabaler is not the right word, but member of the cabal. But anyway, so that's what Palantir is the, Aaron, correct? You can jump at any time with tech knowledge, is the software program, is the technology to control real ID and to monitor real ID. Basically,
their database.
Yeah, their database for real ID, track all the real ID and be able to tell where you're going, what you're doing.
Yep.
That's what Palantir is all about. Palantir News, Palantir announces new federal advisory board members. Look who's on it. Dr. Deborah Birx. The vaccine whore. That's who's on there. Deborah Birx is on this, and Trump thinks she's a wonderful person. Don't believe me? Look at this one. Stinson Norwood video, Trump on Birx. Play it for me.
She's an unbelievable woman, a woman of tremendous substance and style, frankly. She has an amazing style. She walks into the room, and she can take a scarf and do 15 things with it, and she is really somebody that, and that's the least important thing. She is a brilliant woman. She's a great woman. She gets some very unfair treatment, in my opinion. I read one story in the New York Times, which is fake news largely, but they want to knock her. I think they knock her because she probably is on my side. But she is a fantastic woman who's done a fantastic job. Long before this came up, she was involved in things. You have to look at her background. Her background is incredible. She's a brilliant woman who's a fine, fine.
She's a reprehensible whore. Scarfed whore. Who knew that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission and infection and told everybody that it did. Was perfectly willing to allow vaccine mandates to be put in place. She never said a word. She didn't say a word till we started having people like Naomi Wolf and Steve Bannon and people with big platforms exposing the vaccine for what it is, which is a absolutely homicidal, Holocaust-causing killer. Then she started to come out and say, well, you know, we oversold the vaccine. That's what she says. We oversold the vaccine. Why didn't she didn't say that until 2024? Why didn't she say it in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023? Never said a word because it would not be politically or socially advantageous for her to do so. So she didn't. So what does that make her? A whore. She was absolutely complicit in the propaganda to usher in vaccine mandates based on, remember what the vaccine mandate is about. You're mandated to take it because if you don't, you're going to spread the disease. Okay, it doesn't stop transmission infection. She knew in the vaccine trials, the Pfizer vaccine trials, they never even tested it to see if it stopped transmission or infection. Never said a word about it. And then after she found out it didn't, she still didn't come out against the vaccine mandates, which cost hundreds of thousands, millions around the world, their jobs and their health. 35 million excess deaths, and Donald Trump calls her a great person. That's who she is. All right, go to the next one for me. Dr. Naomi Wolf tweet. Oh, and this guy, General Gustave F. Perna, is also on the Palantir board, USA retired, former chief operating officer for Operation Warp Speed.
Oh, good.
Isn't that great? He's also on the board. Tom, stop attacking Trump. I'm going to attack Trump whenever Trump's wrong. And this is a big wrong one. He's off hugely on. Usually on real ID. Usually, I mean, he is really being an operative for the Antichrist spirit to usher in the mark of the beast, a quantum dot tattoo on your right hand or on your forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's where this is all heading, folks. Oh, that's just, I mean, it's amazing that Christians think that's right-wing conspiracy theory when it's in their Bible and it's their Jesus talking because Jesus is the word. Amazing. All right, go to the next before we change the subjects. I can spend all, if I keep talking about real ID, the show's over. I can't do it, so I don't want to. All right, so I'm hoping I can maybe get to some vaccine stuff. It doesn't look great. But anyway, we're going to try. Promise these guys a short show. Short show. 10-10. We're shooting for 11 more minutes. 11 more minutes. Isn't it great, though, we have no commercials or anything, just be constantly screaming at you for a solid 70 minutes? Isn't that great? All right, Donald J. Trump, True Social Post. Shockingly, Democrat-controlled CBO. Tom, you're attacking Trump's, but I'm attacking the big, beautiful bill, but I like the tariffs. You have to operate in specificity. Controlled CBO, Congressional Budget Office, just announced that the tariffs will be reducing the deficit. Wait a minute. Democrats have said that the tariffs are going to add to the deficit and crash the economy when they've done nothing but stimulate the economy. And I mean, hugely stimulated the economy. Aaron, give me a hugely from Trump.
Hugely.
There you go. By at least $2.8 trillion. Too bad this information couldn't have been released earlier. It would have kept people from knowingly saying untruths. There you go. So the CBO has to do what Democrats always have to do, which is retractions. They always have to do a retraction. But the initial bold-faced propagandist Goebbels lie is front page, and the retraction is seventh page. Always. There's always a revision. Revised down. There's always a revision and a retraction, but the retraction is back page news, and the lie to try to propagandize the public is always front page news. All right, let's go to the next one. Vigilant Fox video. Here's Cash Patel on something I had no idea about. Play for me.
Hostages. I could talk about that forever, too. It used to be counterterrorism was a big portfolio. I ran it for the White House and National Security Council in the first Trump administration. We brought home, people don't know this, President Trump in his first term, brought home and rescued over 50 hostages and detainees from around the world. That's more than every president before him combined.
Wow.
Did you hear about the successes of reuniting families with lost loved ones from Africa and the Middle East, or these operations that the president was courageous enough to green light to go into places like Afghanistan and do these hostage rescue ops and use SEAL Team 6 and Delta, or take out guys like Baghdadi and Soleimani? President Trump's directive was simple. We are going to protect the homeland. We're not going to endanger the lives of our armed forces and our intelligence community, but their job is to protect the homeland. And he said, go. And we went. And I think there was such a resounding success that the media had such a hatred for President Trump and his administration. They just said, one, we're not going to give you the credit. Two, we're going to put out a ton of disinformation, which we can get into. And three, when they came time to transition governments from Trump to Biden, they just said, we're not going to do, and this is my opinion, we're not going to do any of the stuff that worked because then we'll have to attribute it to Trump's policy.
So just real simple statistical data, Donald Trump in his first administration, he's doing the same thing in this administration. Aaron, can you outside of Brittany Griner, who's a man, by the way, yeah. who was traded for, you know, an arms dealer from Russia. So we released an arms dealer, and everyone's Russia, Russia, Russia. Aaron, give me Trump and Russia.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
It's always Russia, Russia, Russia. But we trade an arms dealer back to Russia for a man pretending to be a woman, Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
So you're in the WNBA. That's like the only hostage, Aaron, if you could put together a compilation of all the videos where Joe Biden released hostages from abroad.
Nope.
That aren't they? That was it, because Brittany Griner was the only one. Donald Trump in his first administration, and by the way, he's averaging like a hostage being released every month or every couple weeks right now already. I mean, there's a hostage released all the time. Unless you're, you know, the hostages, nobody knows who they are anymore. Nobody knows the names. But if you're like me and you're constantly trolling this stuff, you're constantly looking for this information, I see them all. And he gets a hostage released every other week. And if not, every 3 weeks. And at the very least, once a month. But as the first administration, he's already doing that over the first, I think today's 137 of the administration. I don't know how many he's released, probably low double digits already. And remember, Joe Biden, zero. I mean, zero except for Brittany Garner, but that was a prisoner exchange. Because Brittany Griner was not a hostage. She was actually arrested in Russia for cannabis possession. Sorry. To me, she's just sat right there. I don't agree with the prison term, but I'm just saying she knew the law and she chose to be in possession of marijuana. That's on her. But anyway, so that wasn't even hostage. That doesn't even count. So really, it's zero for Joe Biden. And Donald Trump gets hostage back all the time. And in his first administration, he brought back more and more foreign-held hostages. Americans held on foreign soil than all other presidents combined from 776 to 2017. That's Donald J. Trump. That's how great of a president the guy is. No matter how much I hate the big, beautiful bill, and I hate Real ID, and I hope he wakes up on those things, more on Real ID than even the big, beautiful bill, and they're both incredible threats to our country, Real ID is even worse because then you're getting into the biblical threat of the mark of the beast. And just as a church advertisement real quick, you need to be watching on Sunday, Foundation Church. I won't say this at the end, and I'll just say it now. If you're watching right now, you need to join us. You need to have a church. And most churches are COVID-caving, weak-kneed, lukewarm churches to say what you want to hear. And when you're saying what you want to hear, you're not preaching the gospel. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you don't go to a church that pierces you, you're going to the wrong one. And I never would have said this 5 years ago. Forget about a local church unless you can find a real one that preaches the gospel and come and join us. And what I'll be preaching about, unless God changes my mind, and I'm still on my series, The Real Jesus, and we'll be getting into the beginning of sorrows, which doesn't mean sorrows for us. It means sorrows for the world. You need to watch that, because it talks about ushering in the mark of the beast. You're like, you talk about that from the pulpit? Everything I talk about from the podcast, I don't say from the pulpit, because I've kind of banned myself from saying, no, I said bent over recently. I can't remember. I said bent over. So I'm trying to, I said bent over, but I don't think I said cram it in things. Mm. Yeah, maybe I did.
You said cram it, but you didn't say what to cram it in.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
totally
different. You're trying. Totally different. But I did. I think I dropped ankle grabber and everything. So I mean, it's like
I can tell you where to grab it.
Herbert's here. Herbert's in studio. But anyway, just want to urge you to join us there, and you can see the big picture, because the big picture is the biblical picture.
Yep.
That's what makes this podcast different than all the others. But anyway. Trump is a great president. He really is. He's the greatest president of my lifetime, for sure. And my lifetime includes, let's see, I was born in 1968. So really it's what? Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Hussein, Trump, Biden, Trump. So there you go. He's the greatest president of my life. In my opinion, if he defeats the debt and deficit, he'll be the greatest president of all time. But he's going to have to turn around on some of this stuff, and he's going to have to recognize that Deborah Brooks is a globalist whore. And you're going to have to do that. All right, we got a couple minutes for vaccine stuff. I've got a giant vaccine expose. I mean, just huge. So I just clipped it to some of the most recent stuff for tonight. Liz Churchill video titled Horrifying, and they're talking about the penile gland. Play for me.
I want to add also a comment to what Tina said about the change in personality, depression, and all these things. This is very real. And we have identified reasons from the theory, and some doctors in Italy have, some pathologists have confirmed that. The spike protein, unfortunately, attacks and destroys also the endocrine system. So the glands producing hormones, and hormones are what, you know, make our emotions and feelings and all those things. And so an Italian pathologist near Venice, he went on a newspaper telling that all the brains he had investigated, he found the pineal gland completely destroyed on all the people who were vaccinated. Okay, so the spike protein is also very dangerous for the endocrine system. That's why people have these changes in personality, and
these changes in personality. Is this why we're seeing a violent left, an easily instigated to violence left? Is because basically the entire leftist world globally is 5, 6, 7, up to 10, 11 times vaccinated. And like, well, Tom, it kills the immune system. True. Causes blood clots. True. Causes cancer. True. They inject you with SV40. True. Destroys your immune system so you can't fight it off anything. Causes cancers that are basically benign to become malignant. True. Causes malignant cancers that are slow growth to turbo cancers. True. It does all that. But in, again, these Liz Churchill's title, and this Liz Churchill, you can't get a more verified source than Liz Churchill. And these are all docs. If you saw the people on the screen, those are all doctors. These are, they are going, there's now this autopsy data coming from like Peter McCullough. Peter McCullough's autopsy data that they did, 73% of the autopsies, people who died, 73% of those deaths were caused by the vaccine. Fact. Absolute fact. Pull up Peter McCullough. And again, that's a peer-reviewed study where they actually took 73 people who died. Just died, you know, of quote-unquote natural causes, not murders. And they came in and they did a full autopsy. 73% of, basically 73% of those people died of the vaccine. So you could actually say, is that 73% of the cause of all death around the world, of the vaccinated? I don't know. I mean, again, but in that particular case, that's peer reviewed. They absolutely die of vaccination. So we've seen this reckless, horrible behavior because these people no longer have a pineal gland. It's not that the gland has been damaged. It's been destroyed. And that is the gland that your brain uses, your body uses to secrete chemicals into your body for correct feelings, for compassion, for I shouldn't break the law. I shouldn't stand in front of a vehicle like we saw earlier. I shouldn't stand in front of a vehicle and have an ICE agent nearly run me over. I shouldn't be throwing cans at ICE agents. I shouldn't. You'll see in the postgame, we see these just random acts of people just tearing up stores for no reason. The uncontrollable behavior. Is it because all of them are vaccinated and their pineal gland is destroyed? According to these doctors, every single person that they checked, their pineal gland was gone. Let's go to this one. Valerie Ann Smith. This is Naomi Wolf speaking. The Pfizer documents contain evidence of the greatest crime against humanity in the history of our species. Play it for me.
Pfizer knew within 3 months that 1,225 people died. That's how many deaths there are in just 3 months of rollout.
1,225 within 3 months.
Correct. Pfizer knew by April of 2021 that miners' hearts were being damaged by the injection. They had warnings from the Israeli health ministry and also from a pediatric group. And rather than coming forward and telling all of us this is going to damage the hearts of miners, our lawyers FOIA'd email chains that go up to Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, POTUS, and 15 White House officials.
In the email, you see it going all the way. So the president can't say...
The template goes to POTUS.
Right, okay.
It's a little deniability there, but the template goes to POTUS. But certainly there are 15 White House staffers on the email chain, right?
Being told, hello, we have a problem here.
Worse, they were told that, but then there was this freak out. And I recognize it from having been an advisor to a presidential campaign, a freak out conference where they're planning how to lie to the American people, and they're creating a script. The script is 17 pages, completely redacted. But you remember what happened in April and May of 2021. They came forward and said, oh, you know, pericarditis, myocarditis in young men and teenagers, it's transient, it's mild, it's rare. That they knew that they were lying.
And that's what they came out with. That was their approach. Like, we'll kind of admit it, but we'll just say it's really nothing to worry about.
And then they followed that with an all summer long propaganda campaign using influencers and TikTok personalities to get young people and teenagers to get injected.
So from Dr. Naomi Wolf, Pfizer knew within 3 months that 1,225 people died from their mRNA COVID shot. And what did the Biden administration do? They convened a conference. They convened a meeting to not get the thing off the shelves, not to get the Pfizer shot off the shelves. They actually convened a meeting about how to cover it up. 1,225 people died in the first 3 months. 2,500 Americans died on D-Day, because today is, I'm trying to think of the exact number, but today's the anniversary for D-Day on June 6th. 2,500 Americans died on D-Day. 1,200 people. Aaron, what you said?
Yeah,
me
it's 2,500.
Yeah, no, that's what I said, 2,500. Yeah. Aaron's correcting me. It was 2,501.
No, I wasn't trying to correct you. You said you can't remember the number, so I was just looking.
I said 2,500.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever said I didn't remember the number. But anyway, so 2,500 Americans died. I couldn't remember the something else about
the date.
It. Oh. It was something else. But anyway, regardless. But anyway, so 2,500 Americans died on D-Day. 1,225 Americans died of the shots in the first 3 months. And what was the Biden administration's response? Let's convene a meeting to discuss how to cover it up. That's what they did. The FDA files expose. The FDA files expose a chilling cover-up. Here's what Pfizer knew and when. Vaccine failure just 1 month after November 2020 rollout. Pfizer's internal records confirmed the vaccines didn't stop COVID. The third most common side effect of the vaccinated was COVID itself. The COVID vaccine caused you to get COVID, made it more likely for you to get COVID. And then once you got COVID, it didn't give you less severe COVID. It didn't prevent you from being hospitalized from it. It didn't prevent you from dying from it. It did absolutely nothing. Of course, it wasn't very deadly anyway. Of course, you are more likely to die of it after you're vaccinated because you have no immune system. Isn't that fantastic? It's almost like it's all on purpose, because it is. All right, adverse events. Within weeks, Pfizer was overrun by reports of severe adverse events. They planned to hire 2,400 full-time staff to process the paperwork. The public was never informed of this truth. Pfizer was overrun with reports of severe adverse effects. What did the Biden administration do? So they knew about the 1,200 people who died from COVID. I remember what I was trying to think of with D-Day. And how many years ago was it? That's what I needed. How many years ago was it? So I do want to say something about it before we go. So anyway, 81 years ago. Today's the 81st anniversary of D-Day. Thank you to all those who paid the price for our country. Heart damage. By May 2021, Pfizer knew the vaccine caused heart damage in 35 freaking teens within a week of injection. Yet the FDA and the U.S. government, the Biden administration, delayed warning parents until August. So they knew in May and didn't say a word about it till August. They were too busy convening meetings about how to cover it up. 4 months later, during that time, young adults faced relentless pressure to get the vaccine in order to save grandma. No one, and again, how do you save grandma when it doesn't stop transmission or infection? Toxic biodistribution. The CDC always claimed the vaccine materials, lipid nanoparticles, mRNA, spike protein, stayed at the injection site. This was categorically false. Pfizer's own data showed these materials distribute across the body within 48 hours, accumulating in the brain, piercing the blood-brain barrier, liver, spleen, adrenals, and even the ovaries. These industrial fats, that's what they are, nanolipid particles, coated in polyethylene glycol have no known mechanism for leaving the ovaries, building up with each one. So you lower the level of sperm in men and you clog up women's arteries, and that's why our birth rates are plummeting. Highly respected pathologist Dr. Robert Chandler confirmed these materials present in organs over time with no clear way for the body to expel them. For women, this raises profound concerns about fertility, reproduction, and the health of unborn children. For men, the concerns are testosterone levels, the health of sperm for reproduction, and future turbo cancers. All right, what is the next one, Aaron? What is that video?
Sudden and unexpected video
titled "Gavin Newsom Kids." Gavin Newsom's kids have never had the COVID-19 vaccination. Oh, what a shock! Play for me.
Gavin signed SB 276 and didn't allow personal exemptions anymore. And that really was the beginning of the exodus of moms leaving California. I personally know he does not his children.
Governor Gavin Newsom doesn't his children.
No, he doesn't.
But he makes it required to attend school in California that your kids have to. There's no religious exemptions.
Well, his party came down on him and said that if you do not sign SB 276, you'll never be able to run for president because the pharmaceutical companies are, you know, lobbying and giving so much money. So everything really comes.
This tells you who these people really are. Gavin Newsom pimps the vaccine like there is no tomorrow. Pimps lopping off breast, testicles, and penises like there's no tomorrow. That is his wife's meaning of life, is lopping off penises. He should sleep with one eye open. So that's what he believes, but he would never do it to his own. Because he doesn't actually believe that. It's simply a platform and a vehicle for him to ascertain political power. That's all that it is. Now, in the midst of all of this, what's going on right now in our Youth Health and Human Services run by RFK Jr., who had done a spectacular job up till 7 days ago. Put the next one up for me, sudden and unexpected tweet. Moderna just announced. Moderna is who? Why is it a big deal, Tom? Moderna's a private company. No, it's not. It's partnered with the NIH in a fascistic partnership. Remember, fascism is the merging of corporatism and governance. It is not racism. Racism is terrible too. Fascism, but that's what fascism is. It is 1930s Germany, the merging of corporatism and governance. Moderna just announced that they received FDA approval on a brand new mRNA COVID vaccine called, that's what I couldn't remember last night. What a great name, Aaron. What a great name, huh, Brett? Next Spike. Mm. That's what they name it. It's just in your face. They don't even care anymore. They're not even trying to be tactical. They don't even care anymore. They're calling it Next Spike. Next Spike Up. Just like Sudden and Unexpected says, H of a name for use in all people aged 12 through 64. This just got approved by RFK Jr. FDA's under him. What about, it's just like Cash Patel and Bongino. What about all you said prior to the current appointment that you're in? And what's happened since you've been appointed? You had all of this rhetoric prior to being appointed to FBI director, assistant FBI director, and a reverse course on many of those things. I shouldn't say many. Hopefully it's not many, but on some of those things. And now RFK, RFK has come out blanketly and said many times, mRNA needs to be banned from existence. And now suddenly he's approving a new Moderna. He knows how evil Moderna is. Moderna's bankrupt without COVID-19. Lo and behold, a pandemic comes along and saves them from bankruptcy. And the interesting part about it, of course, is they're bankrupt and who they're partnered with comes up with the pandemic that saves the company. So they save each other because they're sharing royalties. These are NIH people, NIAID people. You have Fauci people, NIH people that are sharing royalties with Moderna. So Moderna's about to go bankrupt. So where did COVID-19 originate? It didn't originate in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It originated at UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina, under Ralph Baer, who then taught the bat lady in Wuhan how to do gain-of-function research, how to make a virus more transmissible to humans and hide it. That's what he taught her. That's absolute fact, documented fact. Ralph Baer doesn't get talked about enough. DASEC funded it through the EcoHealth Alliance, and Fauci funded the EcoHealth Alliance as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, giving tens of millions of dollars to the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which runs the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they give tens of millions of dollars to each. That's all fact. And RFK Jr. knows all this. This comes days after RFK Jr. came out and said that the COVID jab would be removed from the CDC schedule for children and pregnant women, which the CDC has since come out and contradicted. So now the CDC bans the COVID-19. By banning, I mean they remove it from their recommended list. Anybody wants to get a vaccine, go get it. It's America. Go get your vaccine, you stupid idiot. But if that's what you want to do, go do it. But they took it off their recommendation list, which for all intents and purposes bankrupts the company that's making the vaccine. It bankrupts that aspect of the company. And they shell out their company, so, and I don't have time to get into it, so they're never actually bankrupted. But anyway, and then they have the audacity, Moderna does, to name it M-neck spike. I mean, can you imagine that? All the S-spike protein damage that's been done to all of these organs are causing all of these turbo cancers, and you actually come out and name it after the cancer-causing part of the vaccine, the S-spike protein. Imagine that. That's what they're doing. All right, go to the next one for me. Moderna put it out. We announced today the U.S. FDA has approved our M-spike vaccination, a new vaccine against COVID-19. RFK has approved this. And it's like Aaron said, aren't you glad we won the election? What's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, again, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to be hyperbolic because there's a lot of good things going on, but these are horrific. This is horrific. This is actually, again, you need to understand something here. This is not simply a private company. This is a private company that has merged, has conjoined itself to the federal government, where you have all the NIH scientists in the vaccine division sharing royalties and patents with Moderna, and Moderna sharing them with NIH scientists. Matter of fact, you and I pay for the development of these vaccinations through our tax dollars. And then lo and behold, taxpayer-funded UNC laboratories come up with COVID-19 that then allegedly requires a vaccination, and that saves Moderna. So the feds save Moderna. The feds save Moderna from going bankrupt. They save their existence. It's the people they're partnered with. Isn't that weird how that works? And the Operation Warp Speed makes them multi-billionaire out of Stefan Banzel at the bottom there. The FDA approval of our third product, Next Spike, adds an important new tool to help protect people at high risk of severe disease from COVID-19, which is nobody. Nobody's at high risk. Even people with comorbidities. All you got to do is simply treat the early onset, and it's over. Just like Peter McCullough has said from day one, from absolutely day one. All right, skip the next one for me. Brent, we're going to finish with this one here. Go to the Daily Mail pick. There you go. And in light of all of this, look what just happened. Look what's coming out. Wow. Whoa, what a shock. New virus discovered in China is one small step away from triggering a pandemic. Scientists warn June 5th, 2025. Insanity do the same things over and over again, expecting something different. So we listen. Their insanity is trying this over again. Our insanity will be none of us, the people that are watching, we're red pill. We're not getting vaccinated. If you did, you've repented of it and then asked God to remove it from your body. But if America responds in insanity again, responding to it the same way, then don't expect a different result. But anyway, and hopefully Trump has learned too, not to respond to this crap, because they're going to try it again. As they try fraudulent elections over and over again. You know, I mean, the same tactics, hyperinflation over and over again, CBDC, you know, whatever, it, you know, climate change, same things over and over again. And you just simply need to be the restraining and ignore these people and do not comply. It really is as simple as that. All right, that's it. 10:25. I said it was going to be a short show. I was wrong. All right, Rumble Rants, PSU. PSU always gives an interesting number. I think it's $47 a lot of times. PSU, $94. Thank you so much. Dr. Hank, MD. I wonder if you're the doctor that I spoke to on Sunday morning. Christopher Arnott, $5. Chopper Supernut, $5. Love you guys in the rant so much. Again, real quickly, join us at Foundation Church this Sunday, 10 a.m. Let's break our record of attendance. I think it's 1,300 live viewers. Let's break that record this Sunday. Join it if you want a church that's like this podcast. That's what this church is. So join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. You'll see Aaron around 10:15, me at 11. Love you. If I don't see you on Sunday, I'll see you Monday night, as usual, at 9 o'clock. I'm sure there'll be a whole lot of fresh revelations throughout the weekend and fresh new stuff to talk about on Monday, especially with all day Monday before the Monday night show. Love you guys. Oh, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Stick around for the post game. Love you guys. If I don't see you Sunday morning, see you Monday night at 9 o'clock. God bless you.